Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There is no option A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Halleck. I'm your host. And we're excited. In just a moment, you're going to hear from Pastor Mark Jobe, senior pastor of New Life Community Church, author, and a man who's been walking the streets of Chicago for the last 30 years, living the Bible, preaching it, declaring it. And it's exciting to learn from his ministry today as he reads us out of the book of Acts. We're going to be looking at what it means to take a bold stand for Jesus. Many of us feel like perhaps it's enough for me just to believe in my heart and keep that secret to myself. But really what we see in the scriptures is that for us to live out a full faith for God, there's going to come moments where you have to boldly take a stand. And if you're not prepared for that, well, that's what we've got the Bible for. As you read today, as you learn, our prayer is that you would be emboldened to be Christ's witness wherever you are. There are people around you who desperately need for you to be a light. There are changed lives just on the other side of your decision to be willing to testify for Christ. And here at Straight Talk, it's our passion to be able to serve you and empower you and help you to live out your Christianity to the fullest. And so as you turn, if you're sitting down reading your Bible, we're going to be in Acts chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. We're looking at four things that you need to do to take a bold stand. And as we do that, I just want to pray for you. Father, I ask for the listener today who is shaky about his or her faith, the listener who is uncertain and unclear. I pray today as we hear your words, we would find clarity and boldness and love for you that would fuel us to be your witness wherever you've placed us. We trust you for that. We are looking forward to what you have to say to us. Our hearts are open in Jesus' name.
We live in a pluralistic society where no one cares what you believe. Most people don't care that you believe in Jesus. You go to work and say, well, I believe in Jesus. Someone else says, oh, I believe in unidentified flying objects. I think I just saw one last night. You believe in Jesus, that's good. I believe in this tree or this door handle that has magical powers. And they don't care. People do not care what you believe. But when you believe that the way you believe is the only way to God, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There is no option A, B, C, D, E, F, G. That becomes a stumbling block. If you embrace Christianity, pluralism says all faiths are the same. It doesn't matter what you believe or what you believe in. We all end up in the same place. We all end up in some generic God form. Pluralism says, universalism says, it doesn't matter what God you believe in and what name you have. We all end up in the same place. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible is very exclusive about that. The Bible says that there's one way to God, and it's through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the resurrected Jesus, that there is now multiple options to this. And that becomes offensive to people. When the Apostle Peter got up, and let me tell you, if you get serious about your Christianity, you will disturb people. There will be people that will not like you, people that will persecute you. In fact, I don't only believe that people will persecute you and not like you. I believe it's the heritage of all Christians to experience some persecution. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, in fact, everyone who wants to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. If you are living godly in Christ Jesus and living out your faith, there will be some people that will shun you. You will have some people that will reject you. You will lose friends. You will be mocked. You will be ostracized by some. Some of you will have friends that will say, we don't want to hang out with you anymore. Some of you will have family that will come against you. Some of you will have coworkers that will make you the brunt of their joke and their accusations because exclusively you're a follower of Jesus Christ. It is the heritage of believers that they will experience some persecution. Jesus said, if I, being your Lord and Master, have been hated by the world, what makes you think that you, being followers of mine, will be loved by the world? Are you with me? So it is part of our heritage. Don't believe that there's something wrong with you because some people are coming against you. In fact, it tells us in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. The people that Peter was speaking to in this passage were people that were undergoing persecution because of their faith. And the apostle Peter was saying, don't act like it's something strange, like you've done something wrong or what's wrong with this world because they persecuted you. If they persecuted Jesus, you also will experience a degree of persecution. You say, well, Pastor Mark, but we live in America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. I thank God for this country where there's religious freedom. But I want to say that if you study the history of our nation, you will begin to discover that our religious freedom is becoming less religious freedom. We were founded in a nation that the writers of the Constitution included God in the wording of the Constitution. It speaks of our inalienable rights based in the fact that there's a supreme creator God. Our Pledge of Allegiance says, one nation under God. Our coins say, in God we trust. Yet, we live in a land that in our public school system we're no longer allowed to pray publicly in our schools. We live in a country that although our money says, in God we trust, our public squares cannot have symbols of the cross or the nativity scene, or they'll be protested and taken out. We live in a country that's becoming more and more secular and less tolerant, especially of groups that proclaim that there is one way and that other ways are wrong. I believe it was a Catholic bishop or archbishop that said, I expect to die in my bed of old age. I expect that my successor will die in jail. And I expect that his successor will die a martyr. What he's saying is that our times will become less tolerant of religious, less tolerant of people that embrace faith. And we could experience the days, either you or your children, where persecution will break out. We could experience the days where we have to have church like people in Cuba have church, meeting in garages because they can't hang a sign outside of their house because it's illegal or because government intervention may come in. We may experience days like some other places in the world where pastors and leaders and church people are taken and put in jail because of the faith that they embrace. We may experience those days in the future. Let me ask you a question. Are you ready? Yeah, Pastor, I'm ready. Take me to jail for Jesus. I couldn't come to church last Sunday because I had to sleep in. I mean, it was an hour late. It's just, wow, I was tired. You'll be put in jail, but you can't get up in the morning? How strong is your faith, really? Seriously. If there were guards standing at the front of this place, checking out everybody who went in and possibly searching your house later on to say, if you're one of those followers, you go to jail. Would you continue to follow? Would you pay a price? Would you say, I will follow him no matter what the cost? Or would you say, hey, I didn't sign up for that. I thought God was going to help me out, make my life easier, not make my life harder. Generations before us have paid a price to follow Jesus. I grew up in a country that when we went to that country, there was not religious freedom. Our windows were broken. Our doors were burned. My dad was taken into the secret police so many times and interrogated that he started to know the secret police and his family by name. If someone came to our meetings, people saw them and kicked them out of their house. We were ridiculed and mocked. People in the town that I grew up in were told not to associate with us because we may convert them. I grew up in a not blatant persecution. I was never tortured, taken to jail, but I know what it means to be shunned, pushed away, ostracized, taken to the secret police, have our phones tapped and people looking and counting who's coming to the service just in case. Let's never take for granted the freedom that we have, because this freedom may not always be there according to Scripture. And so I want you to jot down and know that as we become bold about the gospel, some people will change, but some people will also become very disturbed by the message of the gospel. Number two, not only will some people get served, you're going to stand up, you need to expect it. Ordinary people become extraordinary witnesses only when they have been with Jesus. Look at what it says in verse 8. The next day, when the religious authorities came to talk to Peter and John, it says in verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called into account today for an act of kindness shown to a man that was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this. You are all people of Israel. It was by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you as healed. Jesus is the stone that the builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. I love this about Peter. He gets up and they say, hey, we have power to put you in jail. We have power to put you in chains. And he gets up and he says, well, let me tell you this. You crucified Jesus. He's the only way. He is our Savior. There is salvation. He doesn't back down. He's full of boldness and authority.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Take a Bold Stand. It's from Pastor Mark's series called AD, the Book of Acts. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Acts, chapter 2, and tonight's Straight Talk is called Take a Bold Stand.
I love what verse 13 says. Look at what it says. And when they saw the courage of Peter and John, and they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Who were Peter and John? Fishermen. They didn't have theological training. They didn't go to theology school. They weren't clergy. They were just fishermen. Their hands had calluses from pulling in the nets. They didn't know multiple language and hadn't spent a lot of time in higher education. They were ordinary men possessed by an extraordinary power. And the authorities noted there's something different about these men. These are men who have been with Jesus. Let me tell you something. I don't know what you do for a living. You may be a plumber, an electrician, a school teacher. You may work in a factory. You may drive a truck. I don't know what you do for a living, but here's what I know. That you may look at your job and think, well, I'm just an ordinary person. But when ordinary persons spend time with Jesus, they become extraordinary witnesses. They noticed that these men had spent time with Jesus, so they spoke with an authority, a power, an urgency, a boldness, that they said, where does that come from? Where did they learn that? They learned it from Jesus. There's something about being with Jesus and having time with Jesus and walking with Jesus in communion with Him through the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you give your life to Christ, you become someone that fellowships with Christ. Even though you can't see Him and touch Him, the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you and begins to change you and transform you. And when you spend time with Jesus, there is a boldness and a power that comes on you that is not normal. Ordinary people become extraordinarily bold when they've been with Jesus. Can I tell you this? There's a lot of closet Christians, and maybe you're one of them. You say, well, Pastor, if people knew, they would make fun of me. I've seen how they talk about Christians. So you become a closet Christian. You go to your work and normally you pray before you eat and you thank God, but at work you drop the napkin. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this food. I pray. Thank you. God bless you. Or you have the headache. Right before you're eating, you're just going like this. Thank you, Jesus. I pray for this food right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you okay? Oh, yeah, just okay. You don't want people to know that you're praying. You put your Bible on an iPhone because you don't want them to see your real Bible out there. When people are talking about what they did in the weekend and what party they went to and what girl they were with or what guy they were with and how they got drunk and what concert they were at and say, hey, what did you do the weekend? Oh, you know, I just, you know, I had fun too. You don't mention church. You don't mention God. When they talk, you kind of act like you're one of them. You act like you're an undercover one of them. You don't want to speak up and say a word or say who you belong to because you're afraid, like, hey, they're going to make fun of me. They're going to ostracize me. I'm not going to be one of them. They're going to put me down. And so I want to fit in with the culture. And so you take your Christianity and you stuff it. We got a lot of undercover Christians out there that are afraid for people to know who they really are. And maybe you're afraid because you say what you are, people are going to look at you and say and keep saying, oh, and you're supposed to be a Christian. Oh, you slipped a swear word and you're supposed to be a Christian. And kind of thinking like, if you're a Christian, you got to be perfect. How many of you kind of feel that pressure sometimes? But I want to say it's time for some of you to take the tape off your mouth. It's time for some of you to take the cover off your Bible. It's time for some of you to stop dropping napkins and to say, hold on, I'm going to eat right now, but I'm going to pray. Thank you, Jesus, for this meal that we have here. It's time for some of you to say, I went to church and heard a great message. Man, God is working in my life. It's time for some of you to stand up and be counted and be unashamed about the gospel of Jesus Christ that has touched your soul, changed your life, and means so much to you. It's time for some of you not to be silenced. Not to be silenced by the majority of people that do not understand the minority of faith. It's time for some of us to stand up and speak. I'll never forget the first time I really felt conviction that I had not shared my faith and I needed to be bolder about my faith. I gave my life to Christ when I was 15 years old in the basement of my grandmother's house. I knelt by myself and I knew that I had to make a choice. I was in high school and I knew I had to go this way or that way, and I decided to follow Jesus. A typical high school kid, you struggle with everything that every other high school kid struggles with. But I remember the first time that I felt this bold conviction that I needed to share and that I had basically not shared my faith almost with anybody in a bold way. I was at a park. I had a summer job where I was working at a hotel, washing dishes, cleaning rooms, making beds, cleaning bathrooms. And so I worked my summer job. I was away from home, and then I would go down to the park, and I was just kind of chilling at the park. And I had my devotions, and I was reading my Bible, had my devotions. I was reading through the book of Acts, and I felt like, wow, these people were bold, and I'm not. And so I prayed, and I said, I felt conviction, and I prayed, and I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to share. So the first person that you bring to this park that sits down in one of these seats, I'm going to share Jesus with them. So I kept looking up. hoping that it would be someone non-intimidating, nice, smiley person. And sure enough, behind me, I hear this. A guy pulls up with a motorcycle, black leather jacket, tattooed, rough looking character, big guy too. Sits on the park bench next to him. Like, Lord, do you have like an option B? Is someone else that may be a little bit more open and nicer? Someone that's not bigger than me? But I tried to talk out my way out of it, but I realized, no, I had told the Lord, the next person that comes, I'm going to go up to them and try to talk to them about Jesus. And so, much to my amazement, instead of pulling out a cigarette and smoking, this guy had a book in his hand that he opened up and he seemed like he was into it. And so I walked over there and I said, so, what you reading there? And he showed me the cover of his book. I almost fell down when I saw the cover of his book was the cross and the switchblade, a testimony of a gangbanger in New York City that had given his life to Christ that's all about the gospel. And I was like, Lord Jesus, you just set this up for me. And I had this incredible conversation with this guy that knew so little about God, that was so open and wanted to talk to me about Jesus. And it reminded me that I do not do this on my own, but God sets up people's hearts to be ready to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. There may be some people right now, think of the hardest person you know, the hardest person to talk to in the world. And you think, oh, this person would never, they would argue and laugh at me. But my gut feeling is that some of the very people that you think are the hardest, that God some way is tugging at the strings of their heart. Some of you walked in this place and you saw people that you thought, no way, they're in church. Because when you knew them, no, they weren't the church type. And you're like, you? And they're looking at you like, you? God is working in everybody's life. Some are resisting him, but some deep inside, when the lights are turned down, when they're laying in bed by themselves, when they have no facade open, deep inside they're saying, God, I'm empty. Are you there? Send someone to talk to me. Manifest your power. Because in the life of most people, there's a God-shaped vacuum that is drawing them to God. And they may have baggage against Christianity, but deep inside, if they do not have the Holy Spirit, there's an emptiness inside that they're trying to pursue to fill other ways. Every person that you witness to and speak to, some will resonate and say, that's what I've been looking for. And some will raise up their guard and try to fight the Christian message that you're trying to present to them. For some, it's a stumbling block. For others, it's the power of God unto salvation. Number three, write this down. Not only is, do you realize that the message that you proclaim will change some and disturb others, not only does God take ordinary people and turn them into extraordinary witnesses when they've spent time with Jesus, but you also, if you're going to stand up, need to remember that every witness will need to decide whether they will ultimately listen to man or listen to God. After they were let out of prison, the authorities strictly rebuked Peter and John, and they said to them, we do not want you to preach Jesus anymore. You are forbidden to speak about this man anymore. You cannot preach. Do not mention them. And they threatened their lives with jail and many other threats against them. And I want you to notice in verse 19, Peter and John's response. They say, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. And after further threats, they let them go.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called AD, the Book of Acts. And tonight was the second half of his message called Take a Bold Stand. This will conclude our series. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find helpful tools that will help you in your walk with God. If you prefer to have a CD of the message, please contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's first book, Unstuck, is also available for only $10 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations throughout Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you. Well, that's it for us here at Straight Talk. And on behalf of Pastor Mark and myself, thank you again for listening. Have a great night, and please do join us again for the next Straight Talk. God bless.